Welcome to Warrior Wisdom, weekly podcast for FBA faculty and staff, and our study through 1st and 2nd Timothy. Let's just get a quick recap as we get started today. Our theme for the year is we are, so we do. Our identity in Christ, our creation by God, our calling from God are connected. We've looked at Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are created on purpose. We are created for a purpose. We are, so we do. In 1 Timothy, we've seen good doctrine produces love, that we are to take hold of our calling, this command by God, and that right doctrine and following our calling are worth fighting for. We've seen that the fight starts with prayer, and we've seen that our character matters as part of our calling. Today in 1 Timothy 4, we will see not only is right doctrine and our calling worth fighting for, it's also going to take hard work. Let's get started in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. I almost feel bad starting with this again, but it's just another reminder that doctrine matters. What we believe and know as truth influences who we are and what we do. And I like the idea given here in verse 3 about what is doctrine. Like, we've seen that the goal of doctrine is love, but what is doctrine? And it says here in verse 3, those who believe and know the truth. Doctrine is what we believe and what we know. Verse 6 will say it this way, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Doctrine includes the heart, doctrine includes the soul, and doctrine includes the mind. It is tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. It is heart knowledge as well as head knowledge. Doctrine provides both our motivation for following God. It is the inspiration and the hope we have in who God is and our direction. Where should we go? How do we follow? What is your call for us? As he says in verse 10, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. This doctrine that we have our hope set on a living God, who is the Savior of all people. This is what provides the end for us. This is what provides the motivation. This is what provides the direction that which we have to toil and strive. Doctrine matters. Doctrine's not just, hey, what I know about God. And it's not only just what I believe about God. It's the combination of what I believe about God, what I know about God, and how that provides me hope, how that provides me motivation, how that provides me direction in my life to toil and strive after his calling. And that's what the rest of chapter 4 is going to tell us, is it's not only a dream and a prayer. Our calling requires hard work. Our calling requires practice and training. Verses 6 through 10, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. The verse we've read a couple times now, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. We have to train ourselves. Our doctrine, right doctrine, our calling, following a calling, learning our calling, accepting our calling, these things require training. We have to train ourselves for godliness. Now, this is a topic that's near to my heart. I love studying about practicing and training. I love reading about it. I love talking about it with others. And there's two big influences that have sort of come through as I've gone through this. And the first one's chaos theory, and not just sort of the full butterfly effect, but the idea that introducing disorder to create order, or introducing randomness in our lives to see the patterns, or unpredictability to allow for creativity, right? Our God is a God who's on the move. Our God is a God who is continuing to work and continuing to do and act in ways that reveal himself to his creation. So we can expect this. So we cannot expect things to stay the same. We have to train our faith to be able to adjust. We have to see how he is moving. We have to be willing to accept disorder at times, randomness, unpredictability, even beginning to put those things in our lives so that we can have the faith to follow him. There's a quote. He's a journalist, Malcolm Magaridge, who wrote his own epitaph for his, and sent it to his friend. And he said this about himself: "Here lieth one whose soul sometimes burned with great longings, to whom sometimes the curtain of the infinite was opened just a little bit, but who lacked the guts to make any use of it." We have to be willing to chase after this, not just to see, not just to sometimes burn with these great longings, but are we willing to stay the course? And the second one's a book called Talent Code, and it takes the idea that we learn through failure, and it pushes it to the logical conclusion, which is our practice, our learning, our teaching should push us past our limits. We should seek failure in our practice. We should plan failure into our practices. We should practice at the edge of our limits if we want to get better. And there's a quote, another quote by a journalist that I think aptly just can describe too often the mindset of our culture, where it says, if we are not inclined to submit to the rigors of discipline, we simply lower the standards and pass ourselves off as acceptable. And he says it later this way: rather than striving for something beyond our current reach, what we are unable to achieve, we just move success lower until we can call ourselves successful. Are we willing to push the limits of our faith? Are we willing to, like the heroes of the faith in chapter 11, as we'll read a little bit in a few minutes, are we willing to accept the unseen? Are we willing to go past what we can currently do and do those things in not just our lives, not just athletic achievement, where often I've been studying this with the boys or whatever it may be, but in our spiritual walk, in our pursuit of right doctrine, in our pursuit of our calling, are we willing to take the hard steps? And into this, Paul steps, and he just gives us four quick pieces of advice that I'm going to walk through. And verses 11 through 16, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example in speech and conduct and love and purity, in faith and in purity. Like, it goes back to our lesson last week that character matters. Your reputation matters. What kind of example do you set for the people around you? Verse 13, he continues, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching, right? Devote yourself to your calling. This is your calling, Timothy. Devote yourself to these things. And then in verse 14, he tells him, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Do not neglect your gift. So how do you do that? Verse 15, practice these things. immerse yourself in these things so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching, and then persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So how do we train ourselves for godliness? How do we not neglect the gifts we have? Because if we neglect the gifts we have, they will atrophy. They will die. They may go away. God may take them from us. The Holy Spirit does not promise you that spiritual gifts are there to stay forever. How do we not neglect them? The first thing is simply, it's just practice these things. Doctrine requires work, requires study, requires time. Our gifts require work. We should not neglect those things that we have been given. We have to practice our faith. We have to practice our spiritual gifts. We have to put the time and effort and energy into fanning to flames the gifts we've been given by God. We have to see progress in these gifts. And just simply for us, do you have a plan to get better? Do you push the limits of your faith? Are you willing, are we willing to accept unpredictability, disorder in our walk with God, to allow us to experience Him more fully? This is what's described in Hebrews 11. I'm not going to read through the whole chapter, but just Hebrews 11, the first couple of verses. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. That's what we know. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And just the quick description of Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. We have to practice these things. We have to push the limits of our faith. We have to be willing to work at the edge of our faith so that our faith grows, the edge of our gifts so that our gifts grow, the edge of our doctrine, not so that we're going into irreverence or silly myths, but am I continuing to push what I know about God, how I've experienced Him, my ways of acknowledging Him so that I can know more about Him and so learn more about me and what He's calling me to do. Do you have a plan to practice these things? Secondly, it says immerse yourself in these things. Do we have a commitment? Is our spiritual growth a priority for our life, right? There's a verse we could probably all quote. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do we prioritize our relationship with God? Do we have a commitment to our spiritual walk, a dedication to the progress of our spiritual gifts and God's calling on our lives? Do we prioritize working on our spiritual life? Is the practicing of our spiritual life, the practicing of our calling, the growing in our faith, the growing in our right doctrine, the growing of our gifts, is putting in the work for those things a priority for our lives? Practice these things. Immerse yourself in these things. And the third thing he tells us about training ourselves for godliness is simply keep a close watch on yourself. Accountability is key in our growth. Whether you're trying to learn something new, you have a teacher that keeps you on track that says, you do this, now you do this. Oh, you didn't do that well. Let's go back and do this, right? Whether you're trying to learn to play the piano, whether you're trying to learn to hit a baseball, whether you're trying to learn to dance, whether you're trying to learn algebra or calculus or how to read or how to write. All those things require somebody saying, let me show you, let me teach you. Okay, no, you didn't do that well. Let's learn this better, because if you don't do this, it's not going to help there. Oh, you do this next. You can't skip this stage. You got to go here. We need those people in our life that hold us accountable, both from the perspective of, I know how to do this, let me show you how. And then also just, are you doing the right things? Are you committed to the process? How do you hold yourself accountable for your spiritual growth? What systems do you have in place? What teachers do you have in place? What plan do they have in place for you? Who is helping you grow? Who are your partners in this growth? How are you keeping a close watch on yourself in this growth, in prioritizing your spiritual growth and in practicing these things? Is there a plan in your life for spiritual growth? And who is helping you produce that plan? Who are you looking up to, reaching out to, that can help you do that? And the last thing he says is simply persist in this. In FBA's entrepreneurial mindset, this is grit. This is just, it will be hard, but it's worth it. Do the work. Stay the course. How do you respond when things get tough? Do you quit? Do you keep going? How do you respond when you get to these moments of failure, when you reach the edge of your abilities, when you start to move into this unpredictability, into some maybe some randomness, into the chaos, when you start to step out into things that you don't know where you're going? How do you respond? Do you persist? Do you keep going? Or do we stop? We are to train ourselves for godliness. Our doctrine and our calling, these things we've seen Paul write about Timothy, write to Timothy over and over in these first four chapters. Our calling, our doctrine are worth fighting for, and they also will require work. There's a quote that's been around from a book I've seen for the first time in from a book from the 70s, and it just says, as a culture, we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. Are we willing to work at our worship? To practice these things, immerse ourselves in them, keep a close watch on ourselves, and persist in these things when things get tough. Our doctrine and our calling are worth fighting for, and our doctrine and our calling require hard work. Are we willing to pay the price? Let's pray. God, thank you that your son paid the ultimate price. God, thank you that in your sacrifice, his sacrifice for us, our salvation is secure. This work is not to earn or gain our salvation. This work is not to get us into right standing with you. Your son did that for us fully and completely through his sacrifice on the cross and through his resurrection on the third day and through his ascension to sit at your right hand. Lord, our salvation is secure. But Lord, now that we are yours, we are your child, we are your sons, and we are your daughters, help us to be willing to pay the price, to practice, to immerse, to pay attention, and to persist in this calling that you have put on our lives. Lord, help us to be people who set the example in godliness. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.